Turton, the collector, had watched the arrest of Aziz from the interior of the waiting room, and throwing open its perforated doors of zinc, he was now revealed like a god in a shrine. His face was white, fanatical, and rather beautiful, the expression that all English faces were to wear at Chandrapur for many days.
The worst thing in my whole career has happened. Miss Quested has been insulted in one of the Malabar caves.
No, no.
She escaped.
By God's grace. But not Dr. Aziz, surely.
I called you to preserve you from the odium that would attach to you if you were seen accompanying him to the police station.
Who lodges this infamous charge?
Miss Derrick and the victim herself.
Miss Quested herself?
Yes.
Then she's mad.
You will withdraw that last statement instantly. It is the type of remark that you have permitted yourself to make ever since you came to Chandrapur.
The news gave me a very great shock, so I must ask you to forgive me. I cannot believe Dr. Aziz is guilty.
That is a repetition of your insult in an aggravated form.
If I may venture to say so, no. I make no reflection on the good faith of the two ladies, but the charge they are bringing against Aziz rests upon some mistake, and 5 minutes will clear it up. The man's manner is perfectly natural, and besides, I know him to be incapable of infamy.
It does indeed rest upon a mistake. I have had 25 years' experience of this country, and during those 25 years, I've never known anything but disaster result when English people and Indians attempt to be intimate socially. Intercourse, yes. Courtesy, by all means. Intimacy, never. Never. That a young lady engaged to my most valued subordinate, that she, an English girl, fresh from England, that I should have lived. I came down particularly on your account, while poor Heslop got his mother away. I regarded it as the most friendly thing I could do. There will be an informal meeting at the club this evening to discuss the situation, but I am doubtful whether you will care to come. Your visits there are always infrequent.
I shall certainly come, sir, and I am most grateful for all the trouble you have taken over me. May I venture to ask where Miss Quested is?
Gravely ill. Worse and worse. Appalling.
It was clear that Turton had already decided to avenge Miss Quested, whilst Fielding hoped to save Aziz. He wanted to get away and talk to McBride, the district superintendent of police, who had always been friendly to him, was on the whole sensible and could be trusted to keep cool. McBride received Aziz with courtesy that was almost reassuring.
Here we go, sir.
Dr. Aziz, I have to detain you until you get bail, but no doubt your friends will be applying for it, and of course they will be allowed to visit you under regulations.
Detain me? You mean put me in prison?
I'm afraid so.
For what reason?
That you followed Miss Quested into the cave and made insulting advances.
No. No. It's not true. No.
Officers, take him down, please.
It's not true. Yes, please. Please understand.
Mr. McBride was shocked at Dr. Aziz's downfall, but no Indian ever surprised him.
Another of them found out. Ah. Fielding.
I came as soon as I could from the collectors. Is it true? Aziz has been accused of...
I'm afraid so.
Is there any evidence?
Miss Quested hit him with her field glasses. He pulled at them. The strap broke. We found them in his pocket. Here, sit down. Have a look at them. Guilty.
No, impossible. If he attempted to assault her, he wouldn't put her glasses into his pocket.
Quite possible, I'm afraid. When an Indian goes bad, he goes not only very bad, but very queer.
I don't follow.
When you think of crime, you think of English crime. The psychology here is different. You see, they can be charming as boys like your students, but I know them as they really are after they have developed into men. Look at this, for instance. Aziz's pocket case. I'm going through the contents. They are not edifying. Here is a letter from a friend who apparently keeps a brothel.
I don't want to hear his private letters.
It'll have to be quoted in court as bearing on his morals. He was fixing up to see women in Calcutta.
Well, I dare say you have the right to throw stones at a young man for doing that, but I haven't. I did the same at his age.
So had the superintendent of police, but he considered that the conversation had taken a turn that was undesirable.
Miss Quested really cannot be seen?
Why on earth do you want to see her?
On the off chance of her recanting before you send in that report and he's committed for trial and the whole thing goes to blazes.
It's no use. Calendar settles a question like that, of course. You haven't grasped that she's seriously ill. She keeps talking about an echo in her head.
An echo?
Yeah.
I only wanted to ask her whether she is certain, dead certain, that it was Aziz who followed her into the cave.
I must put this report through now, Fielding.
I say he's innocent. May I see Aziz?
Why mix yourself up with this?
I promised to come up here with him to you, but Turton called me off before I could get two steps.
We shall all have to hang together, old man, I'm afraid. You don't happen to know this poisonous country as well as I do. The man who doesn't toe the line is lost.
Can I visit Aziz?
You may see him on a magistrate's order, but not on mine.
People drove into the club with studious calm. The jog trot of country gentlefolk between green hedgerows, for the natives must not suspect that they were agitated. The club was fuller than usual that evening. Mrs. Turton spoke first.
She's staying with the McBrides. She's not well at all. Miss Derrick told me that as she dropped off Fielding, almost at once, she heard stones falling on the Cower Doll, and she saw Miss Quested running straight down the face of a precipice. She climbed up a sort of gully to her and found her practically done for. She'd got among some cactuses. Miss Derrick saved her life coming just then. She helped her down to the car. Miss Quested couldn't stand the Indian driver. She cried, "Keep him away!" And it was that that put our friend on the track of what had happened.
I want to talk especially to the ladies. Not the least cause for alarm. Keep cool. Don't go out more than you can help. Don't go into the city. Don't talk before your servants. That's all.
Harry, is there any news from the city?
Everything absolutely normal.
I had gathered as much. Those drums are merely Muharram, of course.
Merely the preparation for it. The procession is not till next week, not till Monday.
McBride's down there, disguised as a holy man.
That's exactly the sort of thing that must not be said, Mrs. Callender.
Oh.
Be more careful than that, please, in these times.
Oh, yes, of course. I'm sorry.
Any more questions? Necessary questions.
Well, is the... where is...
Jail. Bail has been refused.
Quite right.
Will all ladies leave the smoking room now, please, and remember what I've said. We look to you to help us through a difficult time, and you can help us by behaving as if everything is normal.
Yes. Thank you, Harry.
Come along, my dear.
Yes, there we are.
Gentlemen, to the details now. We understand that Heslop warned Miss Quested's servant last night never to lose sight of her. Prisoner got hold of this and managed to leave him behind. Bribed him. Heslop has just found out the whole story, and they bribed our English friend here so that he would miss the trip.
I beg your pardon. Bribed me?
Oh, I'm being misunderstood. Apologies. They paid the other Indian to make you late. She was saying her prayers. I know those prayers.
Ridiculous!
Heslop also found out something from his mother. Aziz paid a herd of natives to suffocate her in a cave. Oh. That was the end of her, or would have been, only she got out. Nicely planned, wasn't it? Neat. Then he could go on with the girl, he and she and a guide. Guide now can't be found. Pretty!
Pour in the troops and clear the bazaar. Damn savages!
We have to protect our women and children, Calendar.
I believe Dr. Aziz to be innocent.
You have a right to hold that opinion if you choose, but...
I am waiting for the verdict of the courts. If he is guilty, I will resign from my service and leave India. I resign from the club now.
Not before time.
Get out! Before I throw you out!
Are you to be Dr. Aziz's judge in court? You seem to have condemned him without hearing his side of things.
His side? How dare you, sir? Leave this room at once. And I deeply regret that I demeaned myself to meet you at the station. You have sunk to the level of your associates. You are weak. Weak. Get out! Traitor! Get out!
There was a slight scuffle at the door from which Fielding was propelled a little more quickly than was natural. Of course, he was angry. His colleagues had never called him weak before or been violent towards him. Fielding regretted taking sides. To slink through India unlabeled was his aim. Henceforward, he would be called anti-British, seditious. But he knew in his heart that Aziz was innocent. Adela lay for several days in the McBride's bungalow. She had been touched by the sun. Also, hundreds of cactus spines had to be picked out of her flesh. Hour after hour, Miss Derrick and Mrs. McBride examined her through magnifying glasses, but Adela lay passive beneath their fingers, which developed the shock that had begun in the cave.
I went into this detestable cave, and I remember scratching the wall with my fingernail to start the usual echo, and then, as I was saying, there was this shadow, or sort of shadow, down the entrance tunnel, bottling me up. I hit at him with the glasses. He pulled me round the cave by the strap, and it broke. I escaped. That's all. It all seems such nonsense. Naturally, I'm upset, but I shall get over it. I'm not worthy of Ronnie. If only I could see Mrs. Moore. If only I could see Mrs. Moore.
The old lady had not been well either, and was disinclined to come out, Ronnie reported, and consequently, the echo flourished, raging up and down like a nerve in the faculty of her hearing, and the noise in the cave was prolonged over the surface of her life. The sound had spouted after her when she escaped and was going on still like a river that gradually floods the plain. Only Mrs. Moore could drive it back to its source and seal the broken reservoir. Evil was loose. She could even hear it entering the lives of others.
I'm afraid, Adela, you're going to have to appear in court, identify the prisoner and submit to cross-examination by an Indian lawyer.
Can Mrs. Moore be with me?
Oh, certainly. And I shall be there myself. The case won't come before me. They've objected to me on personal grounds. It will be held at Chandrapur.
The case will come before Das. An Indian? Outrageous.
Das is my assistant. A good man, McBride. Courteous and fair.
I suppose it must come before someone.
That's the way to face it. You have the pluck, Miss Quested. So much for the fruits of democracy. In the old days, an Englishwoman would not have had to appear, nor would any Indian have dared discuss her private affairs. She would have made her deposition, and judgment would have followed. I apologize for the condition of this country.
Who is representing you?
His friend, Mahmood, the lawyer. And they've shipped in some big-shot Indian barrister from Calcutta, Amrit Rao.
Very anti-English sort. Pompous, arrogant, and a scoundrel.
What they didn't tell Miss Quested was that the Nawab of Bahadur had financed the defence of Dr. Aziz and would ruin himself sooner than let an innocent Muslim perish.